of ownership and control of the economy in favor of the South Africans, especially the poor, the majority of whom are African and female, as defined by the governing party which makes policy for the democratic government. Comrade President Oliver Tambo had outlined this state of affairs decades before when he said, and I quote, "We fight also for a South Africa whose wealth will be shared by its people equally. We fight to abolish the system which obtains in our country today and which concentrates almost all productive wealth in the hands of a few, while the vast majority exists and toils to enlarge that wealth," unquote. We must be mindful of the fact that the primary beneficiaries of the current socioeconomic status quo will by nature be opposed to any talk of radical economic transformation, because it challenges and threatens the status quo and seeks to transform it fundamentally. We have to act decisively, as doing nothing almost guarantees that there will be little progress in the resolution of the triple challenge of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. On the other hand, reckless action will plunge the country into deep economic and social stresses. We must tread carefully, but act, because of the serious economic challenges facing our country currently. The economy remains fragile. Economic growth of 1.3% is projected for 2017, reaching 2.2% by 2019, supported by global growth, stabilizing commodity prices, and a modest recovery in business and consumer confidence. Improved policy implementation, which must be a key focus area in this conference, will improve the employment and investment outcomes. In the 52nd National Conference in Polokwane, the ANC called for a mixed economy where the state, private capital, cooperatives, and other forms of social ownership complement each other in an integrated way to eliminate poverty and foster shared economic growth. Conference directed that the state must play a central and strategic role by directly investing in underdeveloped areas and directing private sector investment. The ANC government has indeed been directed to utilize to the maximum the strategic levers that are available to the state to achieve transformation. These include legislation, regulations, licensing, budget and procurement, as well as broad-based black economic empowerment, charters to influence the behavior of the private sector and drive transformation. Conference will no doubt reflect on these and other instruments as we discuss the implementation. Comrades, the land question is a fundamental issue that the ANC needs to resolve and is a key factor. And is a key factor in the transformation program. This ultimate natural resource must be distributed in an equitable manner while enhancing its productivity and ensuring food security. The ANC government has made considerable progress in the last 5 years, specifically in establishing a strong policy and legislative framework with regard to such matters as land tenure and the shift from willing buyer, willing seller to just and equitable. The Office of the Valuer General has been set up, which has begun to change the manner in which the calculation of fair compensation is done. A new bill has been developed to amend the Expropriation Act. Two land audits have been carried out to build a fact-based planning purposes. With regards to human settlements, we have to move with speed to roll back the legacy of apartheid spatial planning, which condemns the majority of our people to the born and bred in areas determined for them by the Racist Group Areas Act. With regards to the ownership of the wealth beneath the soil, the mining charter was reviewed to determine progress in the achievement of the target of 26% ownership by black persons by 2014. Some progress has been made, but it is partially. The revised mining charter of 2017 takes this into consideration and, among other things, raises the targeted black ownership to 30%. The challenges facing the mining industry and the need to have policy certainty require action from us as the governing party. Conference should give direction on the matter in a manner that does not destabilize the industry further because of its strategic role in the economy as a whole. We also need to protect jobs in a difficult economic environment in the mining sector. Our cadres in Parliament should also ensure the finalization of the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act soon in the new year to ensure policy finality in this sector. Cheers. Comrades, among the key obstacles to transformation are the high levels of concentration in the economy, as well as the collusion or corporate corruption and cartels. Comrades will know the deep and bitter legacy of economic collusion, which is equivalent to a form of corruption from the days of apartheid, when companies meet secretly and decide on prices or divide markets among themselves. These cartels squeeze out small players and hamper the entry of young entrepreneurs and black industrialists. Since the last national conference, the Competition Commission has uncovered cartels in sectors as diverse as construction, steel, banking, automobile, components, food markets, telecommunications, and transport. In the construction industry, more than 20 companies were exposed as being part of the cartels that rigged their bids for the 2010 World Cup Stadium and road projects. The Competition Commission has also investigated collusion by 18 global and local banks involving the foreign exchange markets. Earlier this year, the Commission concluded its investigation into the banks and proceeded to the prosecution stage. Market inquiries are currently taking place into the private healthcare industry and corporate practices in the grocery sector, including in shopping malls and townships, in the public transport sector, and in the data services sector. As these are uncovered, serious concerns have been raised by corruption in the private sector which is treated with kid gloves. And is referred to in softer terms, such as collusion, accounting irregularities, or lapses in corporate governance. Theft and corruption in the private sector is as bad as that in government and must be dealt with decisively by law enforcement agencies. Corporate collusion is now a criminal offense, punishable with 10 years in prison in terms of a new provision signed last year. Legislation and institutions have been put in place by the ANC government to eradicate corruption in the public sector. Since 2009, the President of the Republic has signed 84 proclamations authorizing the Special Investigating Unit to investigate maladministration and corruption in government and state institutions. The allegations made against some sections of the business community regarding the said capture of the state to advance business interests will be probed further in the Judicial Commission of Inquiry that we committed to establish as the ANC some time ago in order to uncover the truth. Comrades, let me emphasize that we need to find ways of protecting the ANC from corporate greed and ensure that the decisions we take are informed by the policies of the ANC and are not dictated by business interests. Already, we have received threats that the ANC will implode and the economy will collapse if certain outcomes arise from this conference, be it conference resolutions on the economy or the leadership elected, if these are not those favored by business. The ANC has 105 years of experience of managing contestation, which is an internal democratic process. We must build a resilient ANC that can withstand such undue pressure and enable the ANC to conduct its organizational work freely. And I want to believe, comrades, that all of us here know what is the right thing to do. And I believe we all love our movement, and that's why we are given a choice to choose whom do we think should lead the ANC. But when we make those choices, it's not like we make one choice. We make different choices because we are a big organization. That leads to contestation, which has taken place since 1912. We know, therefore, what to do. The ANC policy says, no matter how strong you felt about the candidate, once the branches of the ANC have made a choice, you have to respect that and agree to be led at that point. And therefore, there is no need that at this time we want to change the culture, the policy, and act differently. The fact that people are speculating that the ANC might implode, it indicates that people must be noticing something untowards. And I think these delegates here and the leadership, you will indeed emerge as the ANC that we all know, and indeed unite the ANC and put an effort to unite the country. We cannot exercise things that are foreign to ANC culture and policy and tendencies. Comrades, meaningful progress has been made through the ANC's affirmative action and broad-based black economic empowerment programs and policies. The ANC must attend to the issues affecting the black middle class, such as racism in the workplace or business. Concern has been raised by many black professionals and business people that stereotyping is being entrenched. Being black and successful is being made to be synonymous with being corrupt or being corrupt. The ANC must promote black advancement and success and fight attempts aimed at frustrating and undermining black economic empowerment and affirmative action. Access to finance for black entrepreneurs also continues to be a challenge. We need to reflect on this as we discuss the transformation of our development finance institutions. Comrades, I would now like to reflect on organization building and renewal. The 54th National Conference is taking place at a time when our movement is at a crossroads. While we identify corporate greed as posing a serious threat to the ANC, we also need to look at internal dynamics within our organizations, which makes it possible for external influences to pose a threat to the organization. The negative tendencies that have been creeping in since the dawn of our democracy in April 1994 in the ANC have intensified over the years. They have now come to a head and are threatening the survival of the ANC. As we intensify organizational renewal at this conference, let us be reminded of the words of Isithwalandwe Walter Sisulu, who said, and I quote, "It is a law of life that problems arise when conditions are there for their solution," unquote. The ANC is 105 years old because it has always been able to rise to the occasion and deal decisively with problems that threatened its very existence. We are called upon at this conference to solve our problems so that the ANC can focus on leading society. The ANC remains a dominant force in the country in terms of being in control of the National Assembly, 8 provinces, and legislatures, with one provincial legislature being in the hands of the opposition following the 2014 national general elections. We thank our people for putting their trust in the ANC in those national elections. However, the outcome of the local government elections in 2016, which indicated a serious decline, were a stark reminder that our people are not happy with the state of the ANC. A substantial number of traditional ANC voters stayed away from the polls. We lost three key metropolitan municipalities, Tshwane, Johannesburg, and Nelson Mandela Bay, while we ran other through coalitions such as Ekurhuleni and Rustenburg. In addition to the internal issues, our research also indicated the issues that our people are concerned with. Issues such as corruption, crime, and unemployment. The National Executive Committee meeting in the immediate aftermath of the announcement of the results attributed our loss of support to perceptions in society that we are soft on corruption, self-serving, and arrogant. It is clear that our failure to confront problems head-on and solve them had begun to take their toll on the movement. Previous national conferences identified the negative tendencies that we need to attend to effectively, and these still exist in the movement, undermining its standing in society. The scourges of factionalism, gatekeeping, ill discipline, membership buying, and infighting continue to afflict our movement. The leadership had to spend a lot of time visiting provinces to attend to these problems instead of focusing on building the ANC and leading the country to prosperity. Despite the challenges of the day, the ANC still represents the hopes, dreams, and aspirations of millions of our people who are marginalized and who are concentrated in the periphery of our mainstream economy. A heavy responsibility rides upon the shoulders of delegates here and on the membership as a whole to renew our movement and restore its timeless values, unity, selflessness, sacrifice, collective leadership, humility, honesty, discipline, hard work, internal debates, and mutual respect. Our people must be in the ANC, must see in the ANC an organization that will take them to the life that was envisaged by the founding leaders in 1912. We can achieve that in the manner that we conduct ourselves and in which we deal with the problems facing the movement. The ANC will build through our renewal program, must project the picture of a country that is cohesive and of a ruling party that knows where it is going. This means petty squabbles that take the movement nowhere need to take a back seat. Our people are frustrated when we spend more time fighting among ourselves than focusing on solving the day-to-day challenges they experience. We should focus on the need of our people. The ANC should once again be the first to know if there are problems in any community. And it is the ANC that must lead the process of finding solutions, working with the government. We should remember that our people love the ANC. They want to be part of the ANC and its programs. This means that we should eradicate gatekeeping. It is killing our movement. We should enable people to join their movement and participate in its activities. The ANC is the home of all our people, regardless of race, gender, or class. In all its manifestations, factionalism has become the biggest threat to the organization. It is because of factionalism that we have seen the emergence of splinter groups over the past 10 years, which negatively affected our movement, both quantitatively and qualitatively. Slate politics, another manifestation of factionalism, has also cost us many good and capable comrades in whom our movement has invested significantly. Ill discipline has also continued to afflict the ANC, which has taken new forms in the recent past, bordering on members publicly challenging the authority of the organization. There have also been worse incidents of ill discipline where members openly side with and work with opposition parties and other formations that are hostile to the ANC against positions adopted by the movement. We need to reaffirm the authority of the organization over its individual members. There should be consequences for any member who acts and speaks contrary to the values, principles, and political program of the ANC. We should also be mindful of the fact that the media is an active participant with vested interests rather than an impartial and fair observer on ANC organizational matters. Agreed? The mobilization of the media against the country and the ANC from Johannesburg to London, New York, and Washington, D.C., has gained momentum in recent months. We need to reflect on how to communicate with our people in a climate where forces hostile to the ANC control the means of platforms of communications. Due to internal divisions and in pursuit of personal interests, some ANC members also actively use the media to fight personal battles against the ANC, despite the fact that this damages the standing of the movement and the country internationally. The relationship between the three arms of the state also needs scrutiny. Cheers. The ANC adopted the correct position that we need an activist parliament where deployees of the party hold the executive to account as part of promoting good governance and the appropriate use of public resources, a role that has tended to be abused by opposition parties. However, the strategy of how this should be done is not clear. This new role has to some degree created confusion with the role of the opposition parties that seek to discredit government at all costs. The danger also exists for factional and personal interests to play themselves out in parliament to the extent of the ruling party even voting itself out of power if this is left unchecked. We should also continuously guard against the use of parliament to entrench colonial and apartheid privilege and the exclusion of the majority from the enjoying of the benefits of citizenship. Conference must thus reflect on the kind of parliamentary culture the ANC espouses and the kind of strategies and tactics to be used so that we do not permit counter-revolutionary tendencies in parliament. The role of the judiciary also requires reflection, especially in relation to the need to protect the Constitution as the supreme law of the land. Judgments that give an impression that we can disregard the Constitution for political expediency or to solve what we regard as current problems set a dangerous precedent which will make it difficult to govern in future, or or to make ordinary citizens to abide by the Constitution. We also frown upon the subjection of our internal organizational matters to court processes. ANC members should use internal disputes resolution processes. Judges should not be asked to dictate ANC organizational processes. And the direction of the movement. I think, comrades, we should really discuss this matter seriously and take a very serious decision. It's not in keeping with the customs and policies and everything of the ANC that if you disagree on something, you no longer allow the structures of the organization to address that matter. At a drop of a hat, then members are in court. I don't know what it means. I don't know what is our understanding. That is a matter we need to discuss. It is gradually eroding the authority of the ANC. We can't begin to believe that courts are a solution to ANC problems. It's wrong, can't be right. Unless it is a matter that the ANC has failed to resolve and you feel very strongly about, then you'll be understood. But you can treat the courts as part of the structures of the ANC to address internal matters of the ANC. Totally wrong. And I wish this conference will have time to consider that matter and take very serious decision. I know that in the past we have taken some decisions, and really those decisions, if we implemented them, would have curbed this sickness. But I think we've been weak in implementing those decisions. Because we did say whoever takes the ANC to court must understand that he has declared himself out of the ANC. But we have never implemented it. Perhaps that's a problem that the leadership must accept the blame. At all levels. We can't have an organization that is taken to court every day. Somebody who doesn't stay in South Africa and is told that there's corruption in South Africa and we're being taken on other things, they don't know what it is. They might even begin to believe that it means indeed this organization is corrupt. It's wrong. It doesn't put the ANC in a good light. Let us take the decision. If we are satisfied with the decision we have taken before, let us then take a decision to implement. That if the leadership does not implement, then the leadership itself, there must be consequences to the leadership itself. Because you could argue that as branches, we took the decision. We gave you an instrument in your hands. Why are you not using it? I think it is important we deal with this issue so that we are out of courts. We deal with the matters within the internal instruments of the ANC. Comrades, we appreciate the role that organs of civil society played in the struggle against apartheid, and which they must indeed continue to play to build the South Africa of our dreams. We also welcome the role of non-governmental organizations. However, we have seen in the recent past the sporadic emergence of some civil society groupings that are mobilized on the basis of hostile opinions against the ANC. Some NGOs appear to exist merely to fight the ANC and the ANC government. They appear to be well resourced and constantly take government to court to fight political battles. Other formations appear to exist to protect white privilege and, in particular, to ensure the maintenance of the unequal economic relations in society, while pretending to be protecting the interests of our people as a whole, including the poor and the working class. We have also seen unusual activism from the private sector lately in support of such formations, with big business taking the unusual step at times to encourage workers to leave work with full pay and march against the democratic government. The same employers adopt a no work, no pay stance when the workers demand better wages and working conditions. Let us improve our engagement with civil society and regain our role as the leader of society, and not allow the space to be utilized by those whose interests clash with those of the poor and the working class that the ANC leads. Comrades, the ANC mobilizes certain sectors through the leagues, and we have to build and strengthen all our leagues. The ANC Youth League held its national congress in September 2015 and elected new leadership. The ANC Youth League has championed radical economic transformation. A program it formally adopted at its 2011 National Conference, and which was later adopted by the 53rd National Conference of the ANC. The Youth League also contributed in the articulation of the demand for free higher education. For students from poor households and the working class, and also play an active role in the Progressive Youth Alliance. They have also contributed to the development of the new policy for youth empowerment and youth by government and through the National Youth Development Agency. The League is currently championing the intergenerational mix and the appointment of women in the leadership of the party. The mother body needs to lend more focused support to the Youth League so that the league can continue to be torchbearers for the next generation of leaders of our movement. One of our achievements of the ANC Women's League has been the launch of the Young Women Desk. I'm a younger, which has worked to draw youth into the league. The Women's League has also been active and has led several campaigns to reconnect the ANC with its membership and the communities we serve, such as the Molo Melwane Makhelwane campaign. The league also played a leading role in the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the 1956 Women's March to the Union Buildings. The Women's League has also been vocal on developments within the ANC, as well as the direction that the ANC must take as an organization, including promoting women candidature for the leadership of the ANC. We have heard three women cadres who availed themselves for the presidency of the ANC. For the first time ever, this is a milestone for the ANC. The Veterans League held a successful national conference in October this year, following inter-organizational challenges. Internal organizational challenges. The league should be supported so that it can play its role of providing counsel and guidance to the movement. And I think it must be important for me to underline this league. This is a league that has been established not long time ago. And I think we should all understand simply what was the motivation for this. We have a lot of comrades who are getting old or who are maturing in age, who can no longer participate in a very fast strikes, structures that move around. And yet they've got a lot of experience and wisdom. And the issue was, you cannot just allow that experience of those who are no longer competing for positions just to sit whilst the organization needs to grow. And that therefore they should come in and they become a rear guard of the organization. That was the purpose, to help the organization if it makes mistakes or it goes astray. And that is important for us, particularly the veterans, to appreciate. It was never in the mind of the organization that this could be a vehicle to be used to further cause more problems within the organization. No. And I'm happy because I'm at the door of retiring. I'm an outgoing president in all respects. And therefore, my major area of operation is going to be, among others, with the veterans. And I will remind my comrades, because I was there when this was discussed, the main purpose, and we should not defeat that purpose, to help the movement, not to be part of the helly-belly of the problems of the movement. It's not. Is therefore a very crucial structure, very important, that when the body, bigger body of the ANC has problems, they can refer the issues to us up there to say, help us, we have a problem here. That's absolutely important. We cannot be part of the problem. That will be a misunderstanding of the reason why it had to be established. Very important to underline the point. I'm saying this because for a long time, whilst that structure existed, but it had weaknesses that it was not able to play that role. And I'm happy now because there is a hope that it is going to play the role. And I'm looking forward to it. Now I'm saying funa le blaze ya mehlaza so that I can be part of it. The Umkhonto weSizwe Military Veterans Association continued its task of promoting the interests of former MK combatants, including interacting with the government to promote the socio-economic conditions and status of veterans and service, such as housing, education, and health care. The integration of MK former combatants into society and the structures of the ANC remains a challenge which should be looked into as part of our policy and program. And I must also say to the MKMVA that it is not good that if you traverse the country, you come across some of the families who come from here who are saying, look, I'm not in contact. I think it must also work more vigorously to ensure that all former MK families are covered. Very important. Because the government even established a department which was attached to Defense Department that they must be taken care of. They fought for our revolution. No matter what views you can have about them, they were at the cutting edge of our revolution. You can't say because now they are old, they are no longer important. Their importance remains, and therefore, the association must work hard to find every family of those comrades, even those who may not necessarily be veterans, but their fathers or their parents died. They must be looked up. They must be looked after by us. Absolutely important. We also need to actively support other formations such as the Ex-Political Prisoners Association, whose members, former Robben Island prisoners in the main, also require mainstreaming into ANC program and work. That in itself needs to be discussed. How do we infuse these structures? Because some of the comrades were in Robben Island, were a former MK, etc. I think we need to find a way in some of our conferences to discuss these matters so that we bring a healthy situation with the comrades who are maturing. otherwise getting old, who are no longer having all the energy to run around. They need us. They need the organization. It's absolutely important. Comrades, the conditions of struggle have significantly changed since the 1994 democratic breakthrough. Our movement, unfortunately, did not sufficiently analyze and prepare itself for the years for these changing conditions of struggle and how they would impact on the character and configuration of our alliance, especially with the SACP and COSATU. The tensions that have built up over the years, at times as a result of dissatisfaction with the policy instruments adopted by the ANC and its government, have now come to a head in an unprecedented move we saw in the past few months. Our alliance partners marching side by side with right-wing forces who are historically opponents of our democratic revolution, calling on the president of the ANC to step down. A decision was taken by our allies to bar the president of the ANC from attending any or addressing any of their gatherings. Hardly 3 weeks ago, the SACP contested elections on its own, working against the ANC in the Metsimaholo local government in the Free State. It is important to note that this contestation followed the SACP Congress resolution that the party must actively contest elections and that the modality through which it contests may or may not be within the umbrella of reconfigured alliance. The party had made an important point that before implementing this resolution, it would consult with alliance partners. Very important point, because that gives all of us a view or an opportunity to engage. This conference must discuss these new developments and provide direction, having given due regard to the proposals of the SACP around the reconfiguration of the alliance in line with the new conditions of struggle. As we deliberate, we should remember the historic mission of the alliance. We once again borrow from President Oliver Tambo, who said on the occasion to mark the 60th anniversary of the South African Communist Party 30 years ago that, and I quote him, "The relationship between the ANC and the South African Communist Party is not an accident of history, nor is it a natural and inevitable development. Ours is not merely a paper alliance created at conferences, at conference tables, and formalized through the signing of documents and representing only an agreement of leaders. Our alliance is a living organism that has grown out of struggle. We have built it out of our separate and common experiences," unquote. It's important to bear this in mind, particularly, comrades, because the party is a political entity, just like the ANC in the alliance. Therefore, it is absolutely important that when we take decisions of this nature, we give a careful thinking of what are we doing to our history, to our objectives that are still there, because we are still in the middle of the struggle. We are not yet over. Don't we need one another? I think we still do, but that will be seen in the discussions. It is absolutely crucial. It's absolutely crucial. And I don't think we should reach a point where, in such conferences, we have to give such reports. That must show a weakness to all of us, which we need to correct. The relationships with SANCO are cordial, and the organization has become more stable since the last conference and needs to be supported and strengthened. In the Alliance Political Council, we have identified some of the issues we need to discuss with regard to each and every alliance partner. SANCO has a task we believe we need to work with to strengthen its work, in particular, the work among the communities. But that is going to come when we come back from the council. Comrades, with regards to governance, let me not leave COSATU, because it would be unfair, before I leave the question of the alliance. As you know, COSATU, in the things I said there about the decision or resolution they took, it included also that the president must not address their meetings, including booing on May Day. These are matters we need to talk about. We can't shy away. Those resolutions were taken in conferences like this, publicized, and we cannot talk about them here. The issue that faces us, what then do we do? The claim is going to be, the African National Congress is a leader of the alliance, and therefore you need to talk about it. We need to find a solution. I think the situation cannot be accepted that it remains what it is. All three need to give leadership, all of us. And this conference must help to give leadership. If I had all the time, I would perhaps go into some details as to what are the causes. And I'm sure we'll deal with that when we meet in the Alliance Council, as well as when you discuss. The only thing that we must not do is to discuss our problems in public. It's not right, because we are in the Alliance. And we have voiced that from the ANC delegation as much in the Alliance. If there are issues, let us discuss them properly with respect so that we could solve them. Alliance as an entity cannot be guided by attitudes which are individual attitudes, that I've got an attitude against so and so. It can't be. It can't. It's wrong. it has to be guided by the principle of the organization. We can't promote our disagreement to personalities, absolutely out of order. And then I thought I should touch upon this to all elements of the alliance. We have met with the alliance and we have agreed to meet and discuss these matters. And therefore, I am hoping that the outgoing president will no longer be there.
Dose of art and entertainment news, tune into Trends every Saturday from 12 to 1.
While overall access to water has increased from 80% in 2002 to 85% in 2016, more than a million households have been given access to decent sanitation since 2014. Of concern are the reports that poverty levels in the country appear to be on the rise. The democratic government continues to provide a comprehensive safety net. A total of 17 million people have benefited from social grants, the majority of whom, about 10 million, are orphans and vulnerable children. An agreement was reached between the South African Post Office and South African Social Security Agency on the payment of social grants. On education, the creation of two standalone departments of education focusing on basic and higher education, respectively, has assured undivided attention to each sector. The ANC government has extended access to free education for children from poor households. More than nine million children attend no-fee schools and receive free meals at schools, which represents at least 80% of our schools. Cheers. Through the Accelerated Schools Infrastructure Delivery Initiative, project, government has completed over 135 new state-of-the-art schools in the Eastern Cape, Western Cape, and the other provinces, replacing mud schools and the other inappropriate structures. The matric pass rate improved to 72.5% in 2016, up from 70% in 2015, and bachelor passes have also increased. We are quite confident that these figures will further improve this year. The percentage of individuals aged 20 years and old who have attained grade 12 has been increasing consistently since 2002, expanding from 21% in 2002 to 28% in the proportion of South Africans with post-school qualifications increased from 9.3% to 14% between 2002 and 2016, making education a priority for our youth. Kwabani bakwethu. Imfundo lesikhuluma ngayo is serious kabi. Importantly, the old methods of teaching and learning are being rapidly replaced as teachers and learners move towards the 21st century. The ANC government launched the Operation Phakisa implementation program in the basic education sector to promote the use of information communication technology for teaching and learning. Since this Phakisa program was launched in October 2015, more than 3,000 schools have been connected to the internet under the Universal Services Access Obligation Project, requiring telecommunication companies to invest in communities. A total of 31,000 teachers have been trained in various levels of information communication technology skills. The ANC government has also made progress in making higher education affordable and accessible to all. The National Student Financial Aid Scheme increased from 2.4 billion rand in 2008 to 15 billion rand in 2017. This year, more than 460,000 students were funded by NSFAS for both university and technical and vocational education colleges, TVETs. Despite significant and commendable contribution made over the years by NSFAS, thousands of young people from poor and working class households remain unfunded and underfunded. The provision of free higher education and training for poor and working class students until the attainment of an undergraduate degree is a standing and binding solution of both the 52 and 53rd conferences of the African National Congress. These conferences took a decision consistently on this matter. because of the importance of education. This morning, we announced a plan for fee-free higher education for students from poor and working class backgrounds. Which will be implemented in a fiscally sustainable manner following the release of Hare Commission of Inquiry into Higher Education. So we have released the report this morning. Which deals with that situation in good details. Huh? Education is one of the most important tasks of the country. As you know, in our five priorities, we made it priority number one. Because it is only when we solve the education problem in South Africa, shall we change South Africa for real? When everybody is empowered. So we have to invest in education. And we have responded, therefore, to the Hare Commission this morning. Partly because this organization, in its conferences, had taken a serious decision which needed implementation. Kubonga mina. Another key achievement in education has been the establishment of three universities in the past few years, with Mpumalanga and the Northern Cape gaining universities for the first time, and the country gaining a health sciences university in Tshwane. Siyaqhuba bakwethu. Siyaqhuba man. Hey, siyaqhuba. Kunzima siyaqhuba. Ake nibhale. Progress has been made in the health sector over the years. South Africa has the largest HIV treatment program in the world, with 4.2 million people on treatment. As a result, people are living longer. Life expectancy was 54 years in 2008, and it is now 64 years. What an achievement. Nizokhula ingane zam, nizenibo 64, ningakhathazeki. The prevention of mother to child transmission program continues to ensure that we are able to reduce HIV transmission to newborn children. In 2004, more than 70,000 babies were born HIV positive. In 2017, this reduced to 4,200. The number of new HIV infections has also declined from 360,000 in 2012 to 270,000 in 2016. Whilst these achievements are significant, much more remains to be done, especially in the area of preventing new infections. We continue to improve the performance of clinics through Operation Pakisa, Ideal Clinic Realization and Maintenance Program. By the end of June 2017, 11,000 clinics in the Republic, in the public sector, had achieved ideal status, with, amongst other features, good infrastructure, adequate staff, adequate medicine and supplies, good administrative processes, and sufficient bulk supplies. The country suffered a serious setback in healthcare and a monumental and painful tragedy occurred with the deaths of over 100 mentally ill patients in Gauteng between March and December 2016. We look to the alternative dispute resolution arbitration process that is being presided over by retired Deputy Chief Justice Dikgang Motsoenege to assist in reaching a final resolution to this tragic episode in our country. The ANC extends deepest condolences again to the families. While the ANC government has delivered water, electricity, housing, clinics, roads, and other services, we know many, many other communities are still waiting. We should reflect here on how to speed up the pace and quality of the services provided to our people. The deployment of competent and qualified personnel to lead government, the promotion of good governance, and the improvement in the performance of departments, state-owned enterprises, and other statutory bodies remain critical priorities. We have to strengthen the capacity of the state and also support and turn around the non-performing and struggling state-owned enterprises for us to see more meaningful change in governance. Comrades, in the peace and stability sector, the ANC government continued to safeguard democracy and to protect South Africans against all forms of crime. Effective policing, effective courts, enhancing intelligence gathering mechanisms, and strengthening anti-corruption measures have continued in the past 5 years. Policing services have grown massively to meet the needs of all communities, especially those that were neglected under apartheid. The ANC government continues to attend to the aftermath of the tragedy that befell our nation between 11 and 16 August 2012 at Lonmin Mine in Marikana, Northwest, which led to the deaths of about 44 people and injury of more than 70 people. Government has received claims amounting to more than 1 billion rand relating to loss of support and injuries, while others relate to wrongful arrest arising from the killing of 34 miners by members of the SA Police Service. This was a shocking and devastating episode in our young democracy. Negotiations are ongoing between government, lawyers, and those of the affected families and workers. We urge companies to use the existing labor laws and mechanisms to deal with shop floor disputes. The police service must not find itself being accused of either defending corporate greed or supporting striking workers. The training of the police service to manage protests continues in line with the post-Marikana Falam recommendations. Improved case flow management systems implemented at the courts has improved access to justice. Correctional services has improved the quality of prison infrastructure, limited the number of escapes, and reduced the number of awaiting trial detainees. Comrades, we form part of the progressive forces of the world, constantly in a battle against forces of imperialism, oppression, and exploitation. There are naturally those within our borders and beyond who are fundamentally opposed to our objectives and who will stop at nothing to advance their interests, which are antagonistic to ours. Marx and Engels, ababhali laba, understood this phenomenon of contending forces very well when they wrote in the Communist Manifesto that, and I quote, "The history of all hitherto existing society is a history of class struggle. Free man and slave, patrician and plebeian, lord and serf, guild master and journeyman, in a word, oppressor and oppressed, stood in constant opposition to one another, carried on an uninterrupted, now hidden, now open fight, a fight that each time ended either in a revolutionary reconstitution of society at large or in the common ruin of the contending classes," unquote. In other words, the struggle continues whether you are aware of it or you are not aware of it. The class struggle continues. It might look different, but the reality is it continuing. We must emerge out of this conference having reached a minimum agreement on the general identity and characterization of those against whom we are struggling in South Africa and the motive forces with whom we should advance the NDR. Africa is becoming a battleground for various global interests. Former liberation movements are most vulnerable at this period and need to work together to protect the gains of the liberation struggles in our region and continent. When we first met in Nasrec for the first time since our unbanning, the world was a completely different place. It was towards the end of the Cold War, and the divisions globally were clear. It was the East or West. The collapse of the socialists of the Soviet Union and the Berlin Wall led to the creation of a unipolar world in which the Western forces dominated. When South Africa joined the global community, it joined countries of the South and pushed for South-South cooperation and strengthened its relations with the developing countries in Latin America and continued its membership of the Non-Aligned Movement. With time, South Africa strengthened relations with our sister countries in the continent and also countries such as China, Brazil, India, and Russia, which led to the formation of the IPSA and later BRICS, which remains the new contender of a unipolar world. One of the key achievements of BRICS has been the establishment of the BRICS New Development Bank, which was suggested by South Africa on the sidelines of the G20 summit in France. South Africa will host the next BRICS summit next year and will take over the chairpersonship. Furthermore, we have been presented with an opportunity to pursue former President Mandela's vision of strengthening relations and partnership among countries in the Indian Ocean Rim as South Africa assumed the chair of IORA for the period 2017 to 2019. Globally, we continue to call for practical reforms of the global system of governance, especially the undemocratic arrangement within the United Nations Security Council. We must be serious about meeting the sustainable development goals in a transformed and responsive world. In our continent, we should reflect on our contribution in the region as current chair of the Southern African Development Community, SADC for short, and also in the programs of the African Union. Comrades, we need to continue supporting the various struggles of our comrades around the world. We will continue to support the Cuban people in their quest for economic freedom and against the devastating economic embargo. Similarly, we continue to stand by the Palestinian people as they forge ahead under difficult circumstances in pursuit of their statehood and self-determination. We reaffirm our support for the right of the people of Western Sahara to peace, self-determination, and prosperity. The readmission of the Kingdom of Morocco to the AU enables direct engagement on the Sahrawi question. Comrades, all of us must contribute to the making this conference a resounding success. As members of the ANC, we must give people reason to have faith and confidence in the movement by the manner in which we seriously deal with the challenges facing our movement. We should emerge from the conference united, as unity is the rock upon which the ANC was founded. And unity is what will make the ANC and South Africa succeed. We have gone through an intense democratic process of stating our preferences for leadership in the branches. For the first time, we had 7 comrades availing themselves for the presidency and campaigning openly, which yet again proved the internal democracy within the ANC. Only in the ANC you can have 7 candidates. No other organization in the country can provide that. Only in the ANC. Which reflects the abundance of cadership. You can pick any one of the 7. You have a first-class president. Oh, yes. Absolutely. But also, it shows internal democracy, that our branches are not restricted, are not channeled. They choose who they think could lead the organization. They are free to do so. You don't have a situation of like traditional leader. No. Here they are democratic leaders. Our branch are free to do so. We who are chosen must not then disappoint the branches and act in a wrong way. You know our traditions and culture. We can have as many as 7 candidates, but only one will be elected a president. Once that happens, all of us sitting here, all of us, support the one that the majority has supported. Finish and clap. That's what is expected of us. And they, the leaders, are expected to work together to build this organization, to lead all of us. I'm going to go back where I was before, to be a follower, to be led by whoever is going to be elected. Now I'm going to land in Emva, nikezwe my instructions. If you can lead, you must be prepared to be led as well. It also demonstrated that our movement is not short of leaders. Absolutely. You know, ngiyawa dabukela amanye amaparty ashoda ngama leader. Azihambe engathithi umuntu efuna umbila la kwasokwavunwa khona. Singayithola inkokheli la, singayithola ngaphansi kwalotshana. Nqwaba ngozuka lakithi. Leaders. We must be proud of it. And act in a manner that says we know what we have and we know how to use it. Wonderful. Great. I had a constructive comrade meeting with the 7 comrades in what has been dubbed as the Last Supper. The Last Supper. I met all of them, and all of them have worked with me in one form or the other. I know them all. And they are all good comrades. And we had a very wonderful discussion. and agreed on the principles of the African National Congress. So, standing here, I'm waiting for one leader to emerge whom I'm going to call my president. If he likes or she likes him, I said, former president. I don't know. Ukhona that former. Mhlawumbe nami ngiwakwa former. With this comrade, we discussed and agreed that they shall promote unity and that they will work together to ensure a successful conference, and that they would abide by the outcome of the conference. What a wonderful statement that they made. And I'm saying this here because I want those who support each of them to bear that in mind, that this is the agreement and it is therefore your agreement. It is your agreement. We must all unite behind the leadership collective that will be elected here, regardless of our original preferences, which is the exercise of democracy. At the end of the conference, the movement must be the winner and not individuals. The ANC has an obligation to teach people democracy. And this is one of the important events to dish out this lesson free of charge in the country. That's how ANC does it. Comrades, let me thank the outgoing National Executive Committee and the National Working Committee, in which I have served. Together we engaged with and handled difficult and sensitive matters of the movement. The NEC has proven to me that in the ANC, we can fundamentally differ on certain issues, but still remain comrades. An important quality. Given the experiences, I'm convinced that the ANC will sail through the current rough and stormy seas and ultimately emerge even stronger. Let me also thank the national officials. Having been a national official of the ANC for the past 26 years, I have not been or seen a team of national officials more active and hard-working than this outgoing top six. I also thank the ANC membership and all our branches, the provinces, regions, and indeed all structures of the movement, the alliance, and the leagues, who had given me an opportunity to lead this important and historic organization. Many years ago, I never thought I would ever be given this opportunity. I always felt this opportunity needs people who will fit to it. I always taken myself as a cadre to be given the task to perform to make my own contribution. The fact that you gave me this responsibility, I would like to thank you and humble myself and say I try my best. And thank you. Thank you, comrades. Thank you very much. Thank you. It has been a real honor and privilege to lead this glorious movement. I thank you all sincerely from the bottom of my heart. In the process of work of the ANC, such a big organization, the alliance and all structures of the ANC, I'm sure there has been times where we could not agree. There could be times that at times I said things that we did not like. And there could be times that comrades said things to me and perhaps must be feeling I'm keeping an anger. Not long time ago, comrades felt I should be talked to step down. And I want to say to you all here, comrades, that I bear no grudge. You are my comrades. We're expressing your views. And you must know, many of you will be my leaders. Many of you will be in the same place. Know that I will work with you as I did before. I will have no ill feelings because I know why. It is politics. It is also the views you have. You have a right to have your views. I prefer those who express their views than those who don't express their views. With that, comrades, I now declare the 45th National Conference of the African National Congress officially open. 54. All power. Oh, Hinde, Lenzela Esi Hambayo. 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 So shanga nange free washu mandela kubalande nibake wathi so shanga nange free o hinde benzela ese hambayo o hinde benzela ese Say hi.
Thank you.